We're talking today with Dr. Shailene McNeil from National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Shailene, you're a registered dietitian. You tell me your mom as well, so a couple of teenagers. And for the cattle industry, you represent the cattle producers all around this country as you work with the Dollarhead Beef Checkoff and with NCBA on various projects. You're trying to really be that bridge to help consumers understand that, I guess, in effect, it's okay to eat beef.
Absolutely. I mean, we've looked at the science. This is something I've spent the last decade or more really studying, is the science on beef's role in health. And we know beef is a food for health. And we want to make sure that the public knows that, because we know how much consumers love the taste of beef. And we want them to know how great it is for them, too. As a registered dietitian and a mom, I see the value that beef delivers to a balanced plate. And we want to make sure that the public knows that.
Now, there's a lot of ways that you can deliver that message, but it seems like one of the things that we've really embarked on through the Dollarhead Beef Checkoff is the social media platform. And I know that you're trying to deliver that great eating message as well, but you're also giving them a real solid message of the nutritional value.
That's right. You know, when people are thinking about what they want to make for dinner or looking for nutrition information, today they go online or they look on social media. And so we want to make sure we're meeting the public where they are when they're looking for that information. And that's why we've updated our Beef It's What's for Dinner page to have more nutrition content, more health content up forward. We're talking more social media-wise to make sure that information is available to them when they're looking for it so that they can build a balanced, healthy diet with beef.
What's the most important things that we can actually deliver regarding to that consumer? What are they most interested in that we need to be responding to?
You know, the public tells us they do see that beef is a great value. It's worth the money to them. But what they're curious about is nutrition information. They want to feel a little bit better about the nutritional content that beef delivers, and they want to know how to prepare it. So what we can do a better job and continue to do is teach them about the nutritional benefits. Because what we see is when the public learns that beef has things like iron and zinc and B vitamins, high quality protein, they already know it's a food that they love, and so they feel really good about incorporating beef in their balanced diet. And then, of course, if we can give them some really great tips on how to prepare it, we've got a home run.
I guess what that part of it is really important, because a lot of these younger consumers simply have not had a lot of experience in handling beef to maximize that great eating experience.
But they're very curious and they want to prepare beef and they like to experiment and they like to cook. These millennial audience, these younger consumers do. So that's something great we have going for us. And we have some really simple, easy ways to show them how to prepare beef. We also want to teach them and show them how versatile beef is, because it's not just steak night or tacos. You can use beef as an ingredient in stir fries. You can do it in a crock pot and make a whole dish around it. So we're trying to expand the way that we talk with our audience about the versatility of beef, too, and all the different ways it can be used in a variety of dishes.
It's amazing to me that, millennial population, they've got interest in something like a crock pot.
They do. They like to cook. They like food. They like to eat. And, you know, the other thing about the millennials is that they don't want to sacrifice taste for nutrition, and they don't want to give up their favorite foods. So this is an audience that's looking for reasons to enjoy beef, looking for how to incorporate it in, and they really like the information that we share with them. So we have a reason to have a conversation with them about a food that they love.
One of the things I know that you've had to spend some of your time and efforts on has been helping people understand the safety of today's beef products. And that kind of stems back to especially some of the outside, I guess, regulatory type bodies, international bodies in some cases, like the IARC study, that has pointed a very, very accusatory finger at red meat and protein type products.
Well, you know, as a registered dietitian and a nutrition scientist working for farmers and ranchers through their beef checkoff, I've always believed that beef gets a really bad rap. And I think that we have challenges with people who hold perceptions about beef that aren't really based in science. And so recently we worked very hard on a report. The International Agency for Research on Cancer, their division of the World Health Organization, they decided to evaluate red and processed meat for carcinogenic immunogenicity. In other words, they wanted to figure out if they thought the science supported whether or not red and processed meat caused cancer. And ultimately, they concluded that red meat was a probable cause of cancer. Now, we have checkoff science and other science that's even outside of the checkoff that consistently shows, look, single foods do not cause cancer. Overall, it comes back to an overall unhealthy and unbalanced diet that can increase your risk for cancer. And single foods, including beef, just do not cause cancer. And so we were able to provide that science. Ultimately, we couldn't change the outcome that the World Health Organization decided. But what we did do is raise that concern with the public. And the public really questioned the reliability of that conclusion. And we saw huge backlash by the public not believing those results. We ultimately even saw the World Health Organization step back and say they would be taking a closer look at these conclusions because they were so controversial. And that's the truth. I mean, the bottom line is single foods just do not cause cancer.
I guess, you know, that type of response by the industry, extremely important. I mean, you go all the way back and you were part of the industry when we had the cow that stole Christmas with BSE in 2003. When the industry has been able to respond quickly with some good information, the public does listen.
You know, I heard somebody say not too long ago, and I think this is a saying that's been around a while, that the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think that because of the checkoff program and what we've been able to do with first and foremost, investing in the research to really know what the science says on red meat and cancer, for example, or any of the topics that we work on, they start with science and good research. But then to be able to take that science and understand what's missing from the public's understanding so that they can better make decisions, inform decisions about how they want to enjoy beef in their diet. All of that works together. All of that is being informed by the Beef Checkoff's work. And so we're able to take that science and use it to defend our industry on these tough topics where critics would like to try to reduce the amount of beef that we're eating rather than increase it.
Well, let's talk about dietary guidelines. A year ago, I know when we went to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Cattle Industry Convention a year ago, everybody was up in arms about the possibility that the guidelines might point consumers away from red meat, from beef especially. But at the end of the day, the guidelines that did come out did come back to nutritional science.
The dietary guidelines in 2015, or the ultimate result that resulted in 2015, really started off to a rough start. We saw a couple of things that caused concern. Number one is major studies like the BOLD research that Checkoff had invested in, the Beef in an Optimal Lean Diet research that showed that beef can lower cholesterol as part of a dietary guidelines type diet was missed. The scientists that were reviewing the studies for the dietary guidelines missed this study, and they should not have missed the study. So that created some concern. We also saw some of the committee not understanding some of the basic definitions of lean meat and red meat and really understanding how much today's beef supply has become leaner. So those issues were raised. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the secretaries reviewed the science and landed in a place that supports the science. And we see these dietary guidelines clearly saying now that lean beef can be part of healthy guidelines, and they are definitely part of the dietary guidelines.
What's the follow-up to make sure these recommendations are utilized and we get our due?
Well, the dietary guidelines are very important because they do impact things like the school lunch program, federal feeding programs, the military feeding. They also serve as that baseline that registered dietitians like me use for good guidance. So what we have to do now is focus on making sure that through the checkoff, we're showing the translation piece of the dietary guidelines. So we're featuring beef as part of a healthy diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables and whole grains so that the images and the recipes and the meal plans are all available when these dietary guidelines start to get put in practice, whether it be a dietitian giving advice to a client across the table, a school lunch menu, et cetera. We want to make sure we have the tools and tips and resources that show how beef is part of these guidelines.
Where are we headed as far as the areas that you're responsible for? In other words, when it comes to you're working a lot of different areas, you're trying to work with health professionals such as registered dietitians, doctors, and others that give advice to consumers. I know that's an important part of what you're doing. You're also trying to interact with consumers on a more direct basis through social media and the like. Where are we headed as far as trying to tell this story for beef?
You know, despite the challenges that we've had in the last year with the hiccups in dietary guidelines or the cancer report, we're more optimistic than ever about the opportunity that nutrition provides beef and increasing beef demand. One of the things that we know from the Consumer Beef Index, which is that measure that we've been tracking since 2007, more and more consumers are calling beef a balance of taste and nutrition. So our nutrition scores are continuing to rise over time. And so we see nutrition as an opportunity to increase beef demand, not just defending our nutrition story, but using it as a positive. And so where we're headed is doing a better job of showing recipes that have fruits and vegetables and whole grains, teaching people how to enjoy beef as part of a healthy and balanced diet. We're going to reach out to more health professionals. Historically, we have focused primarily on registered dietitians, but we're expanding our audiences. Our producers have asked us to think a little bit harder about the way we reach physicians, and we've had some learnings. We know that physicians are talking about nutrition to their clients and patients, and we want to, in the future, we'll be looking at how we get more physicians educated on beef nutrition so that they can carry that message as well. So expanding that health professional piece, as well as just continuing to go directly to those millennial parents who are looking for nutrition information to feed their children that show them the benefits that beef can deliver.
Well, one last question. You know, you mentioned the fact that we've actually, it looks like we've improved the perception of beef as far as consumers are concerned today. Why is that?
I think that there's a lot of things, of course. Definitely on the front of nutrition, people are confused about what it takes to build a healthy diet. And they've seen that over time, we've become more obese as we've decreased our beef consumption. So there's a lot of wheels turning about maybe we got some of the nutrition advice wrong. There's more skepticism about nutrition advice today. And I think the public is starting to open their minds about the benefits that beef can deliver. One of the things that we've seen change majorly in nutrition even in the last 5 years is the recognition of protein. So more and more people are realizing that if they eat protein, high-quality protein sources earlier in the day or at lunch or throughout the day, their appetite is satisfied longer. And they can connect that dot between beef and high-quality protein and satisfying their appetite. So we see some benefits that are being noticed on nutrition's front. We've done a better job of communicating the ease and the versatility of beef. We're just getting out there in front of consumers more often with solutions for beef's role in their health and their lifestyles.
Okay. Very good.